Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thank you so much for listening. Please drive home safely. It is The Drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Be careful out there with all the ice. I saw a video of a bus overturned earlier today. There were three kids on the bus. There was one kid that's in a wheelchair. Yeah. A couple of those kids went to the hospital. They're all supposed to be okay, but just telling you to drive slow, homie. You know, it's dangerous out there.
Yeah.
It ain't worth your life, you know?
And there's always somebody that's got to go a little bit faster, right, when the ice is out there.
So, normally, yeah, they're in a truck, too. People in a truck drive incredibly reckless in this.
They do, but I think, because I don't think they can, like, spin out because it's heavy. But, yeah, be careful out there, man.
Which makes absolutely no
sense. I about bit it in the parking lot going to get lunch today, and that was, what, 5 hours ago. So, yeah, it's nasty out there.
We got a lot of KU and K-State. The Sunflower Showdown was a very entertaining game yesterday. Looking forward to the sequel in that one. I don't know if Chauncey Billups is looking forward to it, but we certainly are looking forward to it. Brandon, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. The hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's now open in the Crossroads, and it is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The streak took another hit last night, guys. Kansas's loss dropped them in for their record in conference play. 6-4, the last time that they had six or fewer wins in their first 10 conference games was 1994 when they played in the Big Eight. Here's Bill Self after the game.
Yeah, I feel like I should be Jim Moore. Right now in my talk, because we shouldn't even be concerned about a damn race right now. We should just be concerned about, you know, trying to win a game and playing the right way and having freshmen grow up and having some leadership and things like that that obviously was lacking today.
Are you guys ready to officially hit the panic button on KU losing this streak?
I'm not ready to hit the panic button, but I definitely think that you should be concerned right now with KU. We'll talk about it more after the hits. I just don't see a whole lot of type A personality from this team where you've had it in years past. You had guys like Devontae Graham who would take big shots. I remember that game at Oklahoma. He's the single-handed reason that they won that game. Frank Mason, we know, certainly had it. Josh Jackson. I just don't sense that I really have a serious question of how far can your team go in the NCAA tournament if Dedrick Lawson is their best player? I feel kind of uneasy about it, but there's still obviously time to turn it around, so we'll see what happens with KU.
Yeah, I'm hitting the panic button for sure. I mean, I think K-State's going to, at the very least, get a share of the Big 12 title. Now, KU may come back and get a share of it as well, but I don't see any reason to not be panicked. I mean, one of the things on CDOT's list was they can't shoot right now. Well, Marcus Garrett's coming back, but guess what? He can't shoot either. So it's not like you got a bunch of reinforcements coming back for this KU team. And I will say this, and I feel like the main narrative today is what's wrong with KU instead of what's right with K-State. And to me, I don't think that's fair to K-State because they went out there and they played a really, really good basketball team. Or a really, really good basketball game. And I think K-State is a team that's really hard to dislike because you've got guys that stuck around. You've got guys that were unranked coming out of high school, like Barry Brown, like Cartier Jada. You know, guys like that that have stuck around, and it's extremely personal to these guys to beat Kansas, and they finally did it. But as for freaking out about KU and the streak ending, absolutely I'm in freak-out mode because I don't think they're going to win it this year.
Okay, now,
Brandon looks like trigonometry's on the board right now. You should have saw the look on his face. He looked like somebody asked him what the ninth decibel or number after pi was. That's how he looked at the board just then.
Man, there's a lot
of buttons
back there,
dude. He looks so perplexed.
There's like two options, and I chose wrong. I had a 50-50 shot at getting it right, and I chose wrong.
That's all right, man.
Hit number two today. One of the big issues for KU last night was their turnovers. I looked this up after the game. They finished with 23 turnovers last night. It was the second time that they've done that in the last month. KU had just three games with that many turnovers from 2010 to 2018 combined. How did K-State do it? Here's Bruce Weber after the game talking about their defense.
You know, I've challenged them. Be the best defensive team. I know Texas Tech's numbers are up there, some couple other teams, Virginia. But, you know, this stretch run, if we want to compete for a championship and make a run, we have to be – I think we have to be the best defensive team. I think we can. We have stoppers.
Do you guys think that KU's lack of experience, specifically at the guard spots, showed itself last night.
Yeah, but I think we're overselling that just a little bit. I think the K-State is a deeper team and right now appears to have more talent than KU. That was a bigger problem than anything. Quinn Grimes just wasn't good yesterday. Wasn't the fact that he was a freshman. He took four shots. He only hit two of them. Didn't get to the line. Had 6 points. That's the issue to me. Like, this seems to be a talent issue with Kansas, not necessarily an experience issue to me. Duke's not experienced. Duke just has a lot of talent that can overcome the inexperience that they have where KU doesn't.
I think experience is a big part of it, though, man. And I think experience is one of the reasons why you can go on the road and win, and KU can't seem to do this. I mean, now they're 1-6 in true road games this year. So, yeah, I think that definitely is part of it. I'll give K-State this, and this is why I think K-State has a legitimate shot to go deep in the tournament. Defense travels, man. And K-State plays lockdown defense. If you look at, I mean, they held Texas Tech to, what, 45 points? I mean, they have done a hell of a good job at playing great defense. Went into Stillwater, held them to 57 in their place. I mean, even their losses, it's not like they're giving up big-time points in these games. You know, you're going to have off-shooting nights. You're going to have nights when the ball doesn't go down. But defense is something that you could count on every single night, and that's what K-State does. And that's a huge, and we can say that, you know, the KU committed the turnovers. K-State played a role in that as well. So, yeah, I mean, the turnovers surprised me. KU turning the basketball over that many times. And, yeah, they got a freshman backcourt. But let's give K-State's defense some credit for this, too.
Three.
Last hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. It's now open in the Crossroads, and it is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. We've talked a lot about KU today, specifically in the hits as well, but I think K-State deserves a lot of credit for what they did last night. Here's Barry Brown talking about how important that win was.
Man, it was a bucket list game for us. Like he said, it was our first time winning, so it was a game that we knew we really wanted to win. Not just us seniors, but everyone, just for our fans. Ourselves and all the hard work we put in. So it was it's a great feeling right now.
After a win like that and watching K-State play the way they did last night, do you think this is a team that has another run in it?
We'll talk about that after the hits. I just want to more salute K-State. I don't want anyone to think that I'm trying to take anything away from K-State. I'm not. I'm more just shocked by, at this point, I just thought KU was going to have it figured out by now. Like, I thought that KU was going to hit that another gear, so it's just a shock of it to me. K-State is what I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. Yesterday was just an incredible moment for everybody associated with the Wildcats. I mean, you haven't beat them in the last 8 tries. This team that has had a very special run, went to the Elite Eight last year, was a game away from going to the Final Four. They get their first win and maybe only win against KU. Barry Brown played well. Dean Wade played well. Xavier Sneed played well. Like, the guys that were critical to this team going to the Elite Eight last year played really well in this game, and you could tell it meant a lot to them. So congratulations to K-State. Congratulations to the players, the fans, the alumni, everybody associated with it. Last night was a special night for K-State.
Yeah, you know, and it's one thing to know you can do it, but it's another thing to actually go out there and do it. And I think K-State last year, I think they knew that they could beat Kansas. But they didn't have their head in the game. They were a little bit – they knew it was a bucket list game. They knew that they were a little bit more amped for this game than they should have been. Last night, they weren't. They came out, and they were just themselves, and it was good enough to beat Kansas. So I'm with you, C-Don. Like, great night for K-State last night, and I was glad to see them get a win, even though I'm a KU fan.
And that concludes the hits for today. You made a good point, I think, about us in the conversation being more about KU today than being about K-State. I think that's for a couple reasons. K-State, they're kind of the team I thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. Now, they took a weird path to get there. Kind of like if you listen to your GPS navigation, it'll take you 17 minutes to get somewhere. And you're like, man, I could have got here 9 if I went my own way. That's kind of how K-State reminds me of. To me, the biggest story right now in Kansas City is the shock of at least a lot of people like myself. For the first time, I am at least open to the possibility that KU's not going to win the conference. I'm at least willing to entertain the thought. Now, I am still picking KU to do it. I still got to see somebody kill the zombie before I think that the zombies won't win in this scenario. But I don't want anyone to think that I have any disrespect toward K-State. I was thinking as I was watching the game yesterday. If I was Duke, if I was Tennessee, if I was Michigan State, if I'm a team that's going to be a 1 seed or a 2 seed, I don't want K-State in my quadrant. Not at all. I don't want a team who has been there before. Got 2 senior stars in Barry Brown and Dean Wade. I don't want Xavier Sneed. I don't want their athleticism. I don't want their size. I don't want their depth. I don't want K-State anywhere near my side. Make them somebody else's problem. That was confirmed to me yesterday with how I thought, legitimately thought this. I thought they looked more talented than KU. I thought they looked deeper than KU. That if we had to sit here and make a list of how many guys on KU do you say right now are playing well? The list is what, three? Maybe four.
Yeah.
It's not that many guys that you would say right now on KU are playing well. Vic isn't playing incredibly well, yeah. Not consistently. Grimes isn't playing well. KJ Lawson's not playing well. Mitch Lightfoot isn't playing well. Charlie Moore. A lot of guys that are getting minutes on this KU team, You can't say that they're playing incredibly well, not on a game-to-game basis. Where I look at K-State, they got guys that are playing well. And ever since that game against West Virginia, we have seen the team that I think many of us thought that K-State was going to be. So kudos to K-State. I give them all the credit. But I'm looking at this KU team, and my friend said this to me. He said that Dedrick Lawson reminds him a lot about Perry Ellis. And I was like, I was really thinking about it. I was like, you're kind of right. And the difference with Perry Ellis that I think from Dedrick Lawson is, Perry Ellis always played with type A's to me. He always played with Frank Mason was on his team. Mm-hmm. Devontae Graham was on his team. He always played with guys we could kind of lean on where in that big time moment, we kind of need somebody to carry us. And not saying that Perry Ellis didn't do his own thing. But he could always lean on other guys in those big-time situations. If they can create their own shot, they can get to the basket, they're going to be the alpha dog and carry us. Where Dedrick doesn't appear to have that luxury. Like, this team's going to go as far as Dedrick Lawson and Vic Takem. There's nobody else I really think that can carry this team, at least not for a prolonged period of time where that appears to be the problem. That, again, I don't think this KU team has a lot of guys playing at a high level and playing incredibly well. Maybe three or four guys on the team, and that might be generous. And I would say is this team to me just seems to lack that type A personality of that guy that you feel get on my back and can carry us. Now, there aren't that many of them out there. It's not that many. Like watching college basketball, how many guys do you think you can win a championship because that guy's your best player? That I'm watching Dedrick Lawson. You can be really good if that guy's your number two. Like if you're looking at your roster and then Dedrick Lawson, your second best player, you got a really talented team. But KU's asking him to be Thomas Robinson. KU's asking him to be a consistent 22, 13 rebound, create your own shot kind of player. And I don't know if he's that day in, day out.
Yeah, the KU thing for me, it's frustrating. And I know Doak's out. And I know Marcus Garrett didn't play. And I that needs to be mentioned because Marcus Garrett's their best defensive player. And he didn't play in this game last night. So I'll give KU that.
They lose, I would say, even if...
More than likely.
Even if he played yesterday.
More than likely.
They still
it still would have helped him because Marcus
Garrett... Doak plays, they probably win. But
for sure.
Marcus Garrett, they lose if he plays.
I agree. But the thing with KU, I think that's the most frustrating from my end, is that seeing this team right out of the gate against Michigan State, Dedrick Lawson looked like a freak, man. I mean, he looked like a guy that could play inside, a guy that could get a shot outside, a guy that could hit the three. And I don't see that guy anymore in him. I see a good basketball player. I see what you're saying, C-Dot. I see a number two in Dedrick Lawson. But I don't see that guy that we saw early on. And we certainly don't see Quentin Grimes, guy that put 21 on Michigan State. I don't know what's happened to him. You know, and I'll he still is a freshman. I mean, he's still a puppy, so sometimes I think that's going to happen. And
You can't
compare every single freshman to Zion Williamson or Reddish or any of these other guys.
He's a top 10 recruit.
I understand that, but he's also an 18, 19-year-old kid. Like, so maybe this is getting to him. Maybe he's thinking when he cooled off and wasn't playing very good basketball and he's supposed to be this one and done thing, maybe the pressure of this got to him.
I'm sorry. If I didn't tell you who was who, and then you watched Abaji play and you watched Quentin Grimes play.
Yeah, you'd think it was reversed.
You would have no clue.
Totally.
You would have no clue who the number 8 kid in his class was and then who was the kid that was supposed to redshirt. Where Abaji, to me, appears to be the dog of the team. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he doesn't have all the stuff there, and he to me seems like one of those KU guys that by year two, year three, Abaji can be their team's best player and you feel really good about it, but he's just not there yet. Like, I think he wants to be a big dog. He's just a puppy right now. I got no issue with it. He was a guy that in December never even thought he was going to play on this team. I'm sorry. I'm just different than you. I'm holding a kid who was the number 8 recruit in his class to. I'm not saying you got to be Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is a once-in-a-generational talent. He took 4 shots yesterday.
Yeah, I think he was
a non-factor in yesterday's game.
And you're right. I just think he's completely lost his confidence somewhere along the line is what I'm saying. And you could be the most talented guy out there. You could be the most talented guy, you know, on the court. Or in whatever sport you play, you know, you could be Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, best golf. If you have no confidence, then you're not going to play well. You're not going to score well. And I think that's where Quentin Grimes is right now. He's lost it. Like like Cougar in Top Gun, turning his wings, man, I lost my edge. I feel like Quentin Grimes has lost his edge a little bit. And I think that's a huge part of what's going on with KU right now. He clearly has no confidence right now. And I don't know how you get that back. And I certainly don't know how you turn it around, you know, with what? You got half of the Big 12 schedule read. I mean, you have plenty of basketball to go in the Big 12 conference where you can get it back. But he doesn't look like the same guy that we saw, you know, coming out of the gates against Michigan State. He looks like a completely different basketball player.
I want to play this for you. This was Bill Self after the game. He was asked about KU's streak. Here's what KU coach Bill Self had to say about it.
Yeah, I feel like I should be Jim Moore right now in my talk, because we shouldn't even be concerned about a damn race right now. We should just be concerned about, you know, trying to win a game and playing the right way and having freshmen grow up and having some leadership and things like that that obviously was lacking today. So are we in a great position to win the league? No. Do we deserve to be in a great position? Absolutely not. Can we flip the switch? Remains to be seen. But we just got to, you know, try to get better and win a game on Saturday.
I understand what Self is saying.
And I don't think that's one of Self's comments of like, hey, we're soft, this team isn't, and he's just trying to do this thing. I think he's legitimately honest and completely correct with what he said last night.
Yeah, and I mean, just in watching him, I don't think Self is incorrect. This is why I think the streak is such a big deal. It is legitimately one of the coolest things in college athletics. I would say right now it is the coolest thing in college athletics, at least major college. I can't speak for wrestling or something. Maybe something's happened I don't know anything about. Tell me right now in college football, what's cooler than KU streak? Tell me right now in college basketball, what's cooler than KU streak? Or college baseball or a major sport would you say is cooler than what KU has accomplished? Last year, KU tied UCLA and John Wooden. We all know the history of it. The dominance that UCLA had in the 60s and 70s. The run that UCLA went on. The great players. The John Wood. Like, we all know the history of UCLA. Kansas tied that last year. KU has a chance to win a Power 5 conference for the 15th consecutive year. So I get what Self is talking about. But I'm saying is for the rest of us, that the streak is incredibly cool and matters a lot to a lot of people. So it is going to be a big deal. It is always the cloud over the season. It is always going to be talked about until they don't do it. And then it's going to be, well, how do you start another one? Like, you are now a prisoner of your own success if you're KU, that you have set the bar incredibly high for yourself, that now every year you have to walk over what seems to be the impossible of, through suspensions, through injuries, through one and dones, through player graduation, of keeping this oil tanker on course of doing something that is incredibly hard. And the moment that it ends for KU, whether it ends this year, whether it ends from 10 years from now, just know that no team in the history of basketball will likely ever be able to accomplish what KU did.
Does anybody really talk about that streak, though, outside of Kansas? I mean, you know, when it happens, you hear about it, but it's not a streak that gets talked about a ton. I mean, really, outside of Kansas, right? And I'm not.
I mean, I don't know. I don't live there, so I can't. It's hard for me to say.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you go somewhere, and, oh, man, that Kansas streak. Oh, you mentioned Kansas. Oh, yeah, they've won 14 straight in the Big. I mean, it's a cool streak. Don't get me wrong. And I certainly don't want to come across as I'm disrespecting the streak. I think KU fans are kind of over it, if that makes sense. And that sounds weird saying that you've won 14 consecutive conference championships. But I feel like there's a portion of it. I'm in this group of KU fans that are, okay, great. You know, let's make a deeper run in the NCAA tournament. Let's do that. You know, finish third in the Big 12. I don't care. Make a deeper run. If losing, you know, in the Big 12 somehow helps you, and I've always said this, and I still believe this, I don't think this applies to last night, though, but I mean, I think you can learn a hell of a lot more from failure than you can from success, you know, if you do the right things. And I was hoping
that hasn't worked out for Missouri at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, for Kansas last night, I don't think failing at K-State and playing the way they did is going to help them. I think it's actually going to make it worse, believe it or not. I don't think they went out there and mixed it up with K-State and learn something good about their basketball team last night. I really don't. Now maybe something comes from it and losing to K-State and those young guys getting a feel for what it's like to play at K-State and finding out what it feels like, because the majority of these guys aren't from around here. You know, and they find out like, oh, man, we just lost to K-State. You got to be kidding me. This has only happened how many times over the course of since Bill Self has been here? So maybe that helps them long term. But I'm kind of like, the streak to me is great. But I want to see this team get ready and be able to go deep in the NCAA tournament. And something that you said earlier, C-Dot, made me think about this. when you're talking about Bill Self and one and dones and his record with those guys. I'd like to see Self have, you know, develop those guys and have them those guys be bigger impact players like we see in Kentucky, like we see at Carolina, like we see at Duke, places like that. And I don't think he does a great job with that. You know, I don't think he got the best out of Andrew Wiggins. And so now when I hear Quentin Grimes, the number eight player in the country, is coming here, I'm like, okay, well, let's see what he does. You know, or you hear, you know, I mean, going all the way back to Josh Selby, when Bill Self says, you know, this might be the best player I've ever coached, and you got almost next to nothing out of the guy. So the streak to me is eh. And I know that sounds terrible.
Which sounds really odd, given the fact that they can win a major conference for now 15 consecutive years.
I know, it sounds awful, doesn't it? I mean, it really does, but I'm just like, I want them to go deep in the NCAA tournament. The streak is, it's just eh for me right now.
The odd thing about it is, if you're KU, from just, aside from the streak, KU still has a chance to win the Big 12.
Sure.
It starts with taking care of business at home, which I believe KU is going to do. They got Kansas State coming up later this year. I think they're going to win the game. I don't think KU's losing a home game. History has told me that. If you can find a way to win two of your next four games on the road, three would be amazing. If you can find a way to win two of them, and then you let the Big 12 eat itself, then no disrespect to K-State, I could very easily see them losing this Saturday to Baylor.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that's a big game for them, coming off an emotional bucket list type win for them.
You won at home against KU. Maybe you celebrate a little bit too early. You celebrate a little bit too long in this. You don't refocus enough to go on the road and take care of a good Baylor team that's going to be like a six seed in the NCAA tournament. You lose. Let's not forget that this same K-State team, I know it wasn't in the Big 12, lost to Texas A&M less than 2 weeks ago. The same Texas A&M that lost at home to Missouri. Mm-hmm. Like, the Texas A&M ain't a good basketball team. They make the NCAA tournament. So I think if you're KU, your message has to continue to be, let's focus on ourselves. Let's take care of business at home. Let's try to win two of our next four games on the road. If anything, let's just take it one game at a time. Let's find a way to right the wrongs of the road. And then you let the Big 12 take care of itself. And you let these teams kind of eat each other up. You let Baylor drop one they're not supposed to. You let K-State drop one or two they're not supposed to. You let Texas Tech drop one or two they're not supposed to. I know it seems like all is lost for KU.
It's not.
It's really not all lost for KU. And even worst case scenario for this KU team, as bad as we all talk about this KU team, what are they, a four seed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, they certainly don't look like a one seed, no matter what happens and how they play the rest of the year out. The rest of the way out, they're not a number one seed.
Which 90% of college basketball teams would happily trade places with KU right now. So, I mean, not all is lost for KU. With all the problems, all the flaws, it is not that bad for KU.
Let me put it to you this way. Let's just say the Kansas City Chiefs win the AFC West for 14 years in a row, and you get one championship out of it, but you get bounced in the first round a lot, or you underachieve, even though you've dominated your division and your conference.
I think it's way different in pro sports.
Okay, I agree with you, but I'm just saying, like, that's kind of the way I am with the streak. It's like, okay, I see this every year. Okay, what's next? I mean, it's different if you're a fan of a different team, and I don't want to come off as snobbish or talking down to any other programs. It's not what I'm doing. But if you win this many conference championships, what's it got you the majority of the time?
I think
the
only
Elite Eight.
But man, I think the only program you would trade places with over the last 15 years is Duke. Yeah. I don't think you, just despite what you're saying about the five.
Yeah.
I don't think you trade places with any program other than Duke.
I would agree with you.
So I guess you're the second best program of the last 15 years. You seem unhappy with it.
Well, I mean, it's not unhappy. I'm just sort of, I'm bland with it right now, because right now, okay, even if the Jayhawks win, if they come back and they win a share of the Big 12 Conference Championship, do you think this team's going to win a national championship and go to the Final Four? Absolutely not. And I think maybe that's what we got more than anything last night with that loss to K-State. Like, now I feel like I know. I already know what's going to happen come tournament time. And maybe that's where the story is. And that's the root of the way I feel. After I saw the way they played last night on the road at K-State, I don't feel like this team has a deep run in them whatsoever.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Legero Vic, who certainly was in Self's doghouse yesterday, and some of the best stuff in last night's game happened in the last 2 minutes of it. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
So, a lot of UK State fans are saying, what about us? We won the game. Talk about us. That's fair. All right. We'll talk about you guys, because you certainly deserve it. You got a shot to win the Big 12. You got a chance to be a three seed in the NCAA tournament. We'll pay you your respects. I am no K-State basketball historian. Seen a lot of games, but I would not categorize myself to be an historian. Maybe an aficionado is maybe what I would call myself for K-State basketball. So text line 69306. I'm very curious to know where the Jada windmill would rank in your all-time regular season moments. I'm not saying postseason-wise, but I'm saying of cool things that have happened during the regular season. Like, I haven't been to a K-State basketball game in a while, but I plan on fixing that later this year. But I imagine you guys got a pump-up video because everybody's got a pump-up video. That windmill should be at the end of your video. It was an incredible moment. We all knew that he was going to have to himself. Maybe you go one hand, maybe you go two hand, maybe you go 360, but this is your moment. You don't get that clean of a steal where nobody even crosses half court, and this is all about you, my guy. You go up there, you go windmill, everybody's fired up, they're rocking, they're doing. It was an incredible moment for K-State. I'd be very curious to hear from K-State fans where that ranks as a moment. You beat KU, you played well, you outplayed them from start to finish. You're starting to kind of dream a little bit that you can be the team that ends the streak. That was an all-time moment if you're a Wildcat.
Didn't Beasley and that crew, didn't they beat KU in Lawrence? They beat them in Lawrence that year? I have to go back and look. But, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, that's big. But, yeah, I think that was an all-time moment. When you got a breakaway windmill dunk like that against Kansas and you knock them off, it's up there. I was there for the KU-K-State game with Embiid and Wiggins when K-State knocked them off. That was a big moment. I think KU was ranked 8th in the country at the time. The court, it was crazy then. It was absolutely nuts when that happened. That was a big one, too, in regular season history.
Yeah, just because, like, big-time dunks, like, when you were there, you just remember them. Like, it gives you that feeling. Like, it's kind of like if you're there for a walk-off, you're there for a game-winning shot. And I know that wasn't the ender, but it was just – it was the perfect ending if you're a K-State fan. The frustration of them beating you for the last 4 years, that was – it was an incredible moment for K-State for you to do that, and for a lot of those fans. Man, that might be the only time you ever get to see your university beat KU. If you're Barry Brown, might be your only win against him. If you're Dean Wade, if you're Xavier Sneed, if you're guys that have had a great K-State career that will go down as K-State legends, to end your moment like that, to have the student section run on the court, it was just an incredible feel-good moment for the Wildcats.
And I think it was well-deserved for that senior group, too, because, you know, last year those guys felt like they could beat Kansas last year in Manhattan. And the way it was shaping up, they were going to. And they didn't. They laid an egg. And they came back as seniors, and they went out and they got it done. And, you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about K-State, and this team is really, really hard to not like, in my opinion, because I think it's clear, at least from a recruiting standpoint, K-State has less talent than Kansas. Now, it looks to me like K-State's a better basketball team than Kansas right now. This team's played together for a long time. They've got multiple players that have invested in the program. And that's something that KU doesn't have right now. They don't have guys that have been through the wins, been through the losses, been through the injuries, been through the ups, been through the downs. Barry Brown has. Kamau Stokes has. Dean Wade has. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are heavily invested in that program, and I think that's a big difference in what Kansas has, because I don't know how you possibly could be as invested in your program as those guys. If you're Devin Dotson, if you're Quentin Grimes, you know, if you're guys like that, even Dedrick Lawson, who was here for a year before he actually got on the floor, Charlie Moore too. But those guys have been around, man. They stuck it out. And you're talking about a group of guys, and some of those guys weren't even ranked coming out of college, man. I mean, Barry Brown was an unranked recruit. Stokes, unranked. Cartier Jada, unranked. You know, Mike McGurl, unranked. And here they are in Manhattan, Kansas on ESPN, winning their bucket list game last night. It was a hell of a moment for K-State.
Speaking of people who have stuck around, Barry Brown was asked after the game about his dunk. You know the one I'm talking about.
No regret at all, man. You know, I remember my freshman year. They were beating us at KU by 12, 15, something like that. And one of the players dunked at the end of the game, and the game was clearly over. So I just went to return a favor, honestly. That's the only thing going in my head. Shout out Brandon Green.
That's rivalry behavior. I made a mental note. I was a freshman. I remember when Brandon Green did this. I remember how it made us feel. That I took a note. I stuck it in my back pocket. And whenever I got a chance to do that, I was going to do that to KU. Shout out Brandon Green. I appreciate that. Now, K-State fan, I'm going to say this. As someone who was on your side, because an enemy of my enemy is a friend, I don't want to hear any complaining if it comes back tenfold in Lawrence. I don't want to hear none of it. You got your gloating off, and hey, I'm with you. You got your little windmill on the fast break. Barry Brown's talking about shout-out Brandon Green, a little dunk at the end of the game. You very easily could have veered off. You didn't have to do that. You wanted to get payback. I got no problem with it. It's a rivalry game. Do what you got to do. I don't want to hear no whining from – I don't want to hear anything from Bruce Weber. Not a fan. If it comes back for you and you got to play them in a couple of weeks. Because
but why would it? This thing should be over now.
Why should it be over? Green.
Yeah, this should be over, man.
Why should it be over?
Because Barry Brown, they didn't start this thing. K-State didn't start it. They finished it.
Nobody on this team started. Brandon Green, who was long gone from the team starting, he made a mental note.
Shout out Brandon Green.
It ain't over. It wouldn't be over for me.
I love it. To me, what Barry Brown did last night, like, that's old school baseball. We remember that you came in and you slid hard into our shortstop, and that may have been 3 years ago. But now we got a chance to get you back, and we're going to throw you a 95-mile-an-hour heater right in your ribcage.
And I got no
problem. I love it. I love it.
I have no problem with that. I'm just saying is, and you know how people are, at the end of the game, if KU's running the score up on you,
yeah,
or they're embarrassing you in the game, I don't – nope. Nope. You had your shot. You could have showed a little bit of sportsmanship in this context. You didn't do it. That's rivalry. This is big-time college athletics.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that was bad sportsmanship for Barry Brown to do that?
I think most of the time you dribble it out.
Yeah, the answer is yeah.
Most of the time you dribble out. I don't care.
I was surprised that he went up for the dunk and that he did it, but you made this point earlier, C-Dot. He was being pursued. I mean, they were trying to get him.
I mean, he very easily could have just dribbled to the three-point line. They wouldn't have fouled him in the game. Again, I'm not coming to you from the standpoint of I have an issue with it. Again, it's big-time Power 5 college athletics rivalry game. I got no problem with it. But I'm saying is when you play this team in a couple of weeks – and Barry Brown maybe gets a hard foul because somebody's unhappy with it, I would just consider that's basketball. That's what I would consider. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear no complaining on the other side. You did yours. You got your first shot. You won the first game. Maybe this is what this rivalry needs, a little bit of a jolt. Yeah. I like it. I like the gamesmanship by it. To me, you need a little bit of bad blood in this rivalry because this rivalry been too damn friendly. It's been too I don't mind if they go to the Final Four. It's been too damn friendly. So the fact that Barry Brown's trying to make it unfriendly, I got absolutely no issue with that. I like that energy.
But wasn't that even hearing Barry Brown say this after the game, it was almost like the friendliest bad sportsmanship I've ever heard. You know, he didn't curse. He didn't go crazy. He didn't do any of that stuff. He just said, shout out Brandon Green.
Shout out Brandon Green.
Absolutely.
And I got no issue with that.
But here's the thing, though. Like, I don't think KU fans have a whole lot of love for Brandon Green either. So I don't think KU fans are going to be all that upset that Barry Brown did that.
I do have a small issue with KU fans. Just a little one. Just a tiny, teeny issue.
Just a new one? Because, I mean, I know you
have problems. No, this is the same one I've had for my entire life.
Okay.
I think the KU fans, they love to tell us how much better they are at basketball than us. But I'm not going to fault you guys. If my team was as good as your team was, I'd be reminding you all the time that you cheer for Missouri and you cheer for K-State if I was a KU fan. So I don't fault them for that. But sometimes KU fans got to let the rest of us have our fun.
Mm-hmm.
That most of the time when we play you, you win. You then go to work in your little Jayhawk apparel, and you tell us how much better than you are at basketball all the time, and we just got to kiss the ring. And I got no problem playing my role.
You got to kiss more than just one ring. I mean, there's a lot of rings.
They got a lot of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you lose, we're running on the court. So I don't want to hear any of this, K-State was favored in the game. I mean, no, I don't want to hear none of that.
That's not how he said it earlier, dude. I wasn't whining like that.
I don't want to hear none of that.
Even though K-State was favored, they're coming off a year where they went to the Elite Eight and KU was ranked 13th.
I don't want to hear any of it from KU. You win, you dominate these games all the time. If anything, you should feel honored by the fact of anytime someone beats you in your conference, it is storm the court worthy. If you're a college student, it's not like you get 9 opportunities to storm the court. You maybe get like 3.
Like over the course of your career.
Over the whole time you're there, you maybe get 3.
Over the 6 years you're there when you're a college student.
That you got to think. You're not storming the court in non-con.
Mm-hmm.
You can't obviously storm the court in road games. And then it's got to be a team big enough, a team that you dislike enough, a team good enough to come into your building that warrants you running on the court.
I mean, I think if like Oklahoma State just rolled in here and they were number one in the country and K-State was 500 or sub 500 and they won, I think they would storm the court. Right? I mean, it's not personal with Oklahoma State and K-State.
No, it would be my team did something great.
Yeah, I mean, so, and that's like when I was at the game, you know, in 2014, 2015 season, like, KU was ranked 8th in the country, and K-State was down. You know, they shouldn't have won that game. And they did. So I get that part of it. The only thing last night, and I tweeted this out and took some heat for it, is like, can you storm the court when you're favored and you beat the 13th ranked team in the country?
Yeah,
and like, and I got no problem with kids that did it. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what the rules are on that, because K-State was supposed to win this game.
The rule seems very simple to me. For some of those students, the biggest win that they will ever see their team have
was last night. Yeah. No, that's fair.
For some of them. Now, I can't speak for everybody. Sure. I don't know if you go to road games or any of that. But for some of that student fan base, whether you're a senior, whether you're a freshman, the biggest win you've ever seen your university have, that you have the opportunity to be there, was last night's game. That's it. That I know, KU fans, it's hard for you to like put yourself in the shoes of everybody else's. You're one of the few programs that beating is a huge deal. It is. It is a huge deal. As somebody who cheers for Missouri, it is a big deal when you beat Kansas, because you know it doesn't happen often. It's not like Missouri plays Kansas a whole lot, and it's not like they beat them a whole lot. If you're K-State, you've beat them 8 times since 1990. I have no clue the next time K-State's going to beat them. Next year, you got so many guys leaving. K-State might not beat KU for another 5 years. That's very possible,
no,
given
it
this
is.
Rivalry.
It is.
Very possible.
It is.
So when you get an opportunity to run on the court and celebrate with your team of beating the big bad Jayhawks, let them do it. And I hate that every year we have this yearly court shaming. KU fans got to remind us that they're too high and mighty and they would never do it. They got the rules of basketball and how they would never storm the court. Well, we ain't you, you know? So let us have our fun. Let us run on the court. Let us have a good time. I don't care if you're 13th. I don't care if you're 23.
Let me
beating
ask you
is
this.
A big deal. We want to run on the floor.
Let's play. You like your hypotheticals, right? Like, let's just say down the road, KU's like 10-12 rolling into K-State. K-State's, I don't know, 18-4. K-State beats Kansas in Manhattan. And they hadn't beaten for a while.
Well,
you storming the court on that?
I just want to point out the fact of, you brought up a scenario that has never happened in your life.
I know, but I'm just trying to put it there.
I'm with you. So I'm saying is, if in order to justify not storming the court in KU, KU has to be under 500 in February. They have to be in danger of not just missing the tournament, but missing the NIT. And K-State has to be one of the 5 best teams in the country, then yeah, if that happens someday
before
we leave this earth where KU's not going to make the tournament, they're under 500, then yeah, you don't got to storm the court against them. As long as I've been watching basketball, KU's been one of the 10 best teams in college basketball. They're going to win their conference. They got pros. So the scenario you're saying never happens.
I know. I'm just saying, like, I would love to get to the point where, you know, where K-State get wins more, and then because that becomes a more heated rivalry, and then they don't have to storm because it's expected.
Well, I've been watching basketball since the 8th day of Earth's creation, and that's never going to happen. The time that you're talking about, I feel like we watched enough college basketball over generations to know that KU is just going to be much better than K-State at basketball.
It. I get it.
Much better than Oklahoma State at basketball. Much better than Missouri at basketball. That when you get the opportunity to beat them, it is a very special deal, and you should celebrate it as such. Coming up, we'll put a bow on this thing. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Someone on the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. If you storm the court and you get what you get when you come to our house, congrats, we lost half our team and you beat us. That's the energy I want from KU fans. That some KU fans might not matter. If I'm on the team, if I'm Vic, if I'm Dotson, if I'm Grimes, if I'm Abaji, I got issue with what Barry Brown did at the end of that game. I got issue with it. Just as a competitor. That most 99% of times in that scenario, you dribble out the clock. You didn't. It's basketball. But hey, at some point, you got to come back to Allen. We're going to see what happens when you come back to Allen. That's the energy I would have if I was on KU's team.
That's what KU needs to have.
I agree.
I wonder if they have that. I mean, really. If they're going to have that kind of juice and carry that into the game against the Wildcats in Allen Fieldhouse, then we got something.
So yesterday, ESPN tried to do something a little bit different. I actually like when they do this. I like when they do that little crossover thing.
I hated it. I hated it last night.
Now, I did not like it yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think it's all about what game you do. To me, having Jay Billis call an NBA game and then having, you know, I think that's smart.
I like the idea of it, and they call it like the Reese's crossover where they put an NBA crew doing a college game and then the college guys go to an NBA game. I like the concept of it. I just don't want it on the game that I'm like really looking forward to the most so far this season. And that's my biggest issue with it.
I just think you have to do it for two teams that have way more NBA players than these two teams. That this was a good college basketball game. You do that for like Duke and Virginia this weekend. That's a big time college basketball game. Two well-known programs. I know Virginia's not Duke, but Virginia's been known for the last 5 years or so. That's a big time program. That's to me a game you put your NBA players on, not K-State in Kansas.
See, I disagree with you. I want it on a game that doesn't matter as much that you need more juice for. Like give it a different look when you've got Oklahoma State, Iowa State, you know, or Texas Tech and Iowa State, a game like that.
I mean, the goal is to put it on a game that you're going to be watching, not a game that America's not going to be
watching. I understand that, but at least it gives you another reason to watch that game and at least pay attention to it. I mean, that would get my attention if it was some other game that I wasn't going to watch anyway. I mean, for me, that's what it would be. I mean, you've got a big-time Big 12 college basketball game between KU and K-State, the two best teams right now in the league, and you swap announcers, and Chauncey Billups doesn't know what the hell he's talking about when it comes to this game.
Chauncey Billups yesterday, I think that a lot of people can take a lesson from Chauncey Billups that I think social media has created everybody feels like they have to have an opinion on everything. That because social media, it is about sharing opinions and ideas. It's about the concept that my opinion is not more valid on the Chiefs than your opinion, that we're all equal. But sometimes it forces people to give opinions on things they don't know anything about. Like, sometimes it's okay to sit conversations out. Sometimes things happen on my timeline like, you know what, I'm not qualified enough to get in this.
Sure.
I should just put my phone down. Chauncey Billups had that energy yesterday, and I appreciated it. Chauncey Billups, you could tell, doesn't watch KU basketball, doesn't watch K-State basketball, doesn't follow KU basketball, doesn't follow K-State basketball.
I don't think you wanted to be there.
So you know what? I'm just not going to talk. And I got no issue with that. John Schiambi, he's called a couple KU games before. We've had him on the show before.
Yeah.
He's been to Allen Fieldhouse. John Schiambi probably follows KU a little bit. Stan Van Gundy. Now, maybe he doesn't do it, but hey, you only need one of those two to kind of know what they're talking about. My guy, Chauncey Billups, I think wanted to be anywhere other than Manhattan, Kansas yesterday.
He's in an ice storm in the Flint Hills. I don't think Chauncey Billups wanted to be there.
That you could tell that he probably drew the short end of the stick when it came to the assignment. He's like, man, I got to go to Manhattan, Kansas for this one. I haven't watched K-State basketball in about 15 years. I can't tell you the last time I watched KU.
You'd be calling a Laker game right now.
Listen to what Chauncey had to say at the beginning of the second half whenever LeGero Vick was on the bench. If you had been watching KU, you could tell that Bill Self was not very happy with LeGero Vick. That Vic was in the doghouse. But if this is your first time watching college basketball for the season, I can see how that confused you.
LeGero Vick watching to start the second half. I mean, the path has been up and down in terms of his relationship with Bill Self throughout his career, for sure.
Yeah, and who knows what happened. Maybe coach is saying, listen, we're up right now. He has two fouls. We don't want to get him three. We're buying time while he's on the bench.
Where Fran Fraschilla would have had a good feel for that. Jay Billis, who studies the game, follows the game, would have had a good feel for that.
Yeah, he didn't have a good feel for
Dick that. Dick Vitale would have had a good feel for that as somebody that watches college basketball.
What about Chauncey, though?
Chauncey Billups, who has probably watched more Raptors games, more Suns games over the last 2 months than KU games, he doesn't have a good feel for that. Listen to what Chauncey had to say about Charlie Moore and Mitch Lightfoot. Chauncey Billups probably didn't know who Charlie Moore and Mitch Lightfoot were before about 6:30 yesterday evening.
We talked about he hadn't made shots at all this season, but also guy Mitch Lightfoot had a tough shoot-around this morning. I think the coach kicked him out of the lineup a couple times, but he comes in with a lot of effort, extra effort plays, offensive rebounds, bucket here, bucket there. Done a great job.
You know the other thing on that broadcast, too, last night? You remember the end of the game when K.J. Lawson's in and the TN kid? And they got all the bench guys in there, and they hit a couple of threes. I can't remember if it was Chauncey or Stan Van. Oh, they're not giving up, man. KU's, they're fighting hard. No, they're not. Connor Tien's brother's in. You know, they didn't know what the hell was going on in that game. That's what I was irritated that that's the broadcast crew that we got for a KU K-State game that meant so much for this area.
I actually thought that Stan Van Gundy was fine. Now, Chauncey was not fine. John Schiambi and Stan Van Gundy could have done that by themselves.
But don't tell me that KU's still fighting and trying to get back in this thing when KJ Lawson and Connor Tien's little brother's in the game.
I mean, they weren't fighting for it. You're the one that tells me never leave the game early. You never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of it.
I think when you see Connor Tien's redheaded brother come in, the game's over.
Coming up after us, it is Bink at Night. He's going to have Bruce Weber on the show at 6:15. So if you want to hear from the K-State coach, keep it locked in about 15 minutes, and you'll hear from Bruce Weber. For Brandon Kiley, for Brad Fanning, check out the podcast page, 610sports.com. Also available on iTunes. Do us a favor, download the radio.com app. Back again tomorrow. Drive home safely. It is The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.